So let's talk about this thing called mansplaining. And
so leading questions to electric boogaloo.
Electric boogaloo. So not necessarily about the actual phenomena of mansplaining, but more so the phenomena of calling something mansplaining when it's not. For instance, we left off kind of talking about this. My experience in the last couple days has been talking to women who I disagree with about the Mike Pence situation, right? And saying consistently over and over again, what I'm asking you for is you're stating a truth claim. This is sexism. People are not being afforded opportunities because of how Mike Pence does things. I've said, give me proof of women who did not get jobs and men who did based on Mike Pence not eating privately with women. No one would do this. No one would give me proof. Everyone would say, I don't have to give you proof, and you're sexist. And I said, no. What I said was, give me proof. You're saying he's sexist. I'm saying I need the data. Well, you're a sexist. Okay, no, I'm not a sexist. What I'm saying is, you're saying Mike Pence is sexist. Give me data. If you give me data, I will agree with you.
Right. Most
and
people,
so I'm consistently repeating what I said.
Because a lot of times what happens is, a lot of time. Okay, that is in no way mansplaining, and if anyone said that, because you're not even explaining anything, so it doesn't even matter. But when someone,
it's re-explaining what I said. So it's like, oh, you're stupid.
Okay,
you think I'm stupid because you're re-explaining.
Okay, so when most people, when a lot of men say, "Show me proof, give me proof," what they really, a lot of times, what they really mean is, I'm not going to believe you. You can't prove it. That kind of thing. So for someone to actually say, if you show me the evidence, then I'll agree with you. There, it's a little bit of a foreign concept. No, that is not mansplaining. It is, the closest thing would be saying that, I mean, saying, well, women don't have to deal with this. That would be mansplaining. That would be saying, because you're assuming that you know more about their personal experiences than they do. But in that case, that was not mansplaining. And it's very easy, because it is a buzzword, it's very easy to throw out mansplaining as a catch-all for, man doesn't agree with me, he thinks I'm stupid because I'm a woman, so it's automatically mansplaining. And that's not really, that's not really the case. It's when a man assumes that he has more, that he understands more about that woman's experience than she does. So in that case, no, you were not. And they, if anyone said that you were doing that, no, it was incorrect. But that's really, I think, the closest that you come to that is saying, well, women don't have to deal with this in general, so why is it a problem? Or, If you were able to post something showing, like, show some data on your side, then that would not be mansplaining either. That would be just showing data. And if, I think in something like that, it is important to show data. If you're saying that, well, because this happens, women don't have opportunities, you need to be able to back it up. Because, like we said before, he said having dinner with a woman, not necessarily having a business meeting with a woman, having a business dinner with a woman. Does it mean private? Does it mean an intimate dinner? Does it mean a dinner with friends? Does it mean dinner with a colleague? We don't know. And they need data to back, you need data to back it up, what he means. And only he and the women that he's interacted with can provide that.
So for, like, a good example of mansplaining would be, like, what happens to me every day in real estate. For example, yesterday I had a gentleman call me and try to break down what agents, like, that he represented the seller To which I questioned him, because he didn't. He represented a buyer. And he was trying to push me in a corner and make me feel like an idiot so that I would give him my seller's bottom line, which I can't do, you know? But he did so by trying to demean me and calling me sweetie and try to use terms that he thought I didn't understand. That was very much mansplaining in its truest form, because he was trying to assume that he knew more about something than I did. I think that's more what you're talking about that we deal with every day.
Right. And fortunately, I'm not in a line of work where I have to deal with mansplaining very often, because I'm in education.
I deal with it often.
Yeah, so I feel very blessed that, no, I don't have to deal with a lot of sexism in the workplace or a lot of...
Because you're in a profession where it's mostly women.
Right.
Okay.
However, I do have to deal with sexism in the industry, because so many of us are women, and there's so much... I mean, healthcare is against women in this country. Like, there's so much that's against us in general that, yeah, it does still affect me. In my workplace, not necessarily. The closest I'll get to it is in theater or in music. If I dated someone who felt that who was threatened by the fact that I had more of an education in music than he did, and he felt like he had to prove a lot and he had to show how much more he knew than me. And it wasn't true. I had taken the classes. I had done the work. I had gotten my degree. I knew more about the content in the subject area than he did. Needless to say, that relationship didn't last very long. But, like, that's probably the deepest that I've... A big chunk that I've dealt with in professionally for my career is not in my official career, not in my day job of education, but in music specifically. Right. Yeah.
I dealt with it because I used to work with a youth group. This one.
Which one is this?
Cider. They're both the same cider. So I used to work for a youth group at a church, and I dealt with it a lot there.
It comes in both. Not
as much with like the leadership, because they were four women.
Right, but it is rampant in the church.
But I dealt with it in my education.
Yeah.
And I dealt with, because it was predominantly men in my degree field. I had professors who would pretty much tell me they were against me being in that major. And then I also dealt with it a lot in my real estate profession.
And I think, personally, I've dealt with it a lot in among people in the church. Specifically more in the evangelical church. Not since I've been singing. Like, I've been singing at a Catholic church for a little over a year now, and I've never dealt with it there. But when I was really involved in some evangelical and Baptist churches, there was a lot of sexism, and it was under the guise of, oh, I'm trying to lead you. Now, there were a lot of men who were not sexist and were not trying to...
It depends on the denomination.
It depends on the person.
Yes.
Because they can come from all kinds of backgrounds. And, I mean, in one Baptist church, I have one guy who was like, no, you just don't understand. If you just listen and don't respond, like, I'm not looking for you to listen and respond, I'm looking for you to just listen. When he said that to me because I didn't agree with him on something. I understood what he was saying, I just disagreed, but he told me basically shut up and listen, don't respond, and then maybe you'll get it. And no, we're not friends anymore, because he's a tool. But then also in that same church was my Bible study leader, who was really like, he tried to understand women's issues. He was very, reminded me of Calvin, like an alternate universe Calvin a little bit, just in that he would always ask questions, but just like, it depends. It really depends on the person and their background.
It can depend on the person. It can also depend on the denomination, due to the fact of the teachings that go along with different denominations.
So
I had a lot of that in certain churches I had, and then I had a lot of support in another church.
So I
So one of the questions I have is, when you do deal with areas of expertise, so my two areas of expertise are history, specifically surrounding race in America. I'm literally an expert on the topic. And then religion. And I have a very hard time with both of those topics, talking about those topics, because they tend to be topics that, or areas of study that everybody's opinion seems to be equally valid. Well, here's what I think about religion, and my opinion is valid. Here's what I think about history, and my opinion is valid. Now I can't do that.
Your opinion on politics, your opinion on religion, and your penis.
There you
go. It's all okay to have them, just don't shove them down my throat.
That's disgusting. Anyhow.
God bless you, Dave.
But I almost feel like a doctor, when I'm talking about these topics with people, I almost feel like I'm a doctor who has spent 8 years in medical school, another 4 years specializing in whatever, and I come into a room and I tell someone, ma'am, sir, you have cancer, and then that person going, you know what? I read on WebMD that I actually just have a sore throat. Well, no. I mean, WebMD is a great resource, but I'm a medical doctor. I've literally sacrificed my life and my fortune to be able to learn how to make people better. You have cancer. Now, you're more than welcome to go get a second opinion, but I would suggest that second opinion being an actual doctor who's done the same thing rather than, you know, WebMD. And so for me, because of what I've had this background in, the last few days talking about this Mike Pence thing with women who have opinions about Mike Pence, but have opinions about feminism, but have not studied feminism. Like, they will come at me and explain to me how this is just like racism. And I'm going, interesting you would say that, because it's not. Well, how can you say that? I'm like, what? One, you're a white person telling a black person that this is exactly like racism. Two, you're a white person telling a black person who is educated on racism that this is exactly like racism.
They're white explaining to you.
And it's not. Right. And
yeah.
I don't like to give somebody a splaining title. The reason why is because I think throwing the splaining title on someone, regardless of whether they're doing it or not, is disallowing disagreement. Because most people are using the term wrong at this point. And so I'm going, no, I'm an expert on this topic. You're telling me something that is patently false. I am now explaining to you
never
why.
Never call yourself an expert.
Well,
I think
I have training in it, and you don't. I can at least put it there.
Okay, so here's the difference.
You're telling me something that I'm trained in. You're trying to explain to me something that I'm trained in, but mansplaining thing that
right.
I was talking about earlier.
Here's the difference between putting a splaining label on it and calling it disagreement. Because if it's truly mansplaining or white-splaining or whatever, it's never just a disagreement. It is being willfully ignorant and willfully obtuse and self-important. And that's what it is about. It's about the self-importance and wanting to feel superior. It's never about a disagreement. I almost never used the term mansplaining until November, right after the election, when it was just coming at me like 3 times in the span of a day. And then I still only used it referring to not the guys who were disagreeing with me, but the guys who were the men who were saying that they knew more about my experience than I did. And that's the whole point of it. It's when someone tries to blank splain, I'll just call it, something to you, it's about the level of importance and superiority and condescension and not willing to hear anything else and not willing to take in any other opinions. Whereas if you're just disagreeing, there's still that idea that, okay, well, we disagree, but I could still, like, I can respect you. I can take you right. Seriously. If you're mansplaining to me about my experience as a woman, you don't respect me, so fuck right. Off. That's the difference.
And that's what I wonder then, because I feel like when I was talking about this whole Mike Pence thing, I'm like, I keep focusing and bringing it back to, we're talking about Mike Pence.
Yeah.
This particular event.
Yeah.
And when people got down to it, they're like, hey, I feel like you were discrediting, I feel like you're discrediting women's stories of their experiences. I'm going, we haven't even talked about their experiences in the professional world. We're literally talking about this one person, and you are putting your experiences, these are my experiences, therefore, it must be this way.
Right.
My experience. And it could very well be. It could be. But at this point, we have no data that says it is that thing.
So right. Basically, everyone is just assuming what they think they know. Everyone's just
yeah, exactly.
What they think.
Right.
Correct. Okay. I have a question, though. This mansplaining come from?
It came from a woman coined the term several years ago when she had literally written a book on a subject. I don't remember what it was. And she was at a party and a man came up to her and had read an article about the book and was trying to explain the book to her. And she had to interrupt him and say, oh, you mean the book that I wrote? And he said, oh, well, and then he proceeded to flub and because he was literally explaining to her what she knew, like all of the things that she knew, but she actually knew it better than he did because he felt like she as a woman wouldn't have understood it or wouldn't know it. And Dave gave the example earlier before you got here of
Detroit Labs.
Yeah. Co-owner of Detroit Labs. She's software engineer, software developer, and she literally wrote the book on software developing. And a guy came up to her and started trying to explain it to her. And she was like, no, you don't understand. I literally wrote the book on this. And he just kept going and trying to explain it. Because there's a level of condescension involved, it assumes that... And what it's usually not conscious. It's not at the forefront of what they're thinking. They don't think that... If you asked them, they wouldn't say, oh, well, she's a woman, she wouldn't know that. But that's where it comes from. Is they think that they have this great knowledge to impart. Women don't do that as a general rule. Men do it more often than women.
I was wondering, I was thinking actually, I think in a married situation, I have found myself doing the same thing. I was married. Basically, kind of breaking it down into simple terms so that the husband can understand. So I feel like it can go both ways. And I think it's a level of respect or lack of that brings on that type of behavior. And I call it a behavior because it's easy to change your mind. But I really feel like it could go both ways. It should be more mansplaining, like you said.
Right.
It could be like...
Right, and we were saying, well, and it's not even dumbing it down. It's, I mean, yeah, you could use like white-splaining, a white person trying to explain racism to a black person or any person of color. But it was coined because it happens to women in specialized fields all the time. In male-dominated fields, it happens all the time. Someone was on your show when I was on, the first time I was on, when we talked about women's issues, and she works in a law office, and she said it happened... Yeah, Marissa. And it happened to her all the time. And that's really why the term exists, is because a woman wanted a name for the thing that kept happening to her and other professional women. So it's because it kept happening to women, it keeps happening to women in male-dominated fields. Because, yeah. But like any good term, it gets overused and it gets misplaced.
There is also the reality that people don't want to admit. There are times when people will talk about stuff and it's going over my head. But I don't want to look dumb. I'm going to say I know what it's what they're talking about. So there are times when people will respond back to me, and because I know the taste, because I know the feel, because I know the contours of my particular pedigree, when they respond back to me, it's almost like a student who's writing a book report and you can tell they didn't read the book. Like, you're like, you have no idea what you're talking about, right? But you can tell, okay, you can tell the person doesn't know what they're talking about, but they want to look like that they do. And so I will have people explain stuff back to me, and I'm going, I know this person doesn't know what they're talking about. Now is the time where I need to correct incorrect understanding in order for the conversation to move forward. And at that point, it gets to this, well, now you're insulting my intelligence. Now you're just mansplaining as if I didn't get the idea.
There's a certain...
I didn't get the idea.
Right. But there's a certain point where I will wait, me personally, and I know some other people who feel this way too, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but... it takes a lot for me to say that someone is mansplaining to me. I have to have tried to have a discussion with them. I have to have tried to, you know, share my point of view and understand where they're coming from. And it's a willingly ignorant, attitude of superiority. They're not willing to discuss things. They're not willing to share really their experiences. They're willing to, or why they think a certain way. They're willing to shove their ideas down your throat without really understanding what they are, like you were saying. Right. And say, but it's never mansplaining right away. Someone doesn't share an idea and it's automatic. Usually they share it. You try to have a discourse. They're adamant that no, this is how it is, and it's being willfully ignorant.
I think that
you're welcome.
I always assume,
ladies and gentlemen, we
heard
this podcast to tell you that
Fights
is a goddamn
when it's happening, and I'm fully aware of what it is. But that's how I'm wired. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Not everybody is wired that way. Some people will call it out right away. I feel like you catch more flies with honey, as the old saying goes,
right?
Than you do with vinegar. And so I always try to start there because I at least want to have the outlook on the world that people don't try to hurt or offend. That they just do sometimes because they don't realize it.
And they're trying, sometimes they try to lift themselves up.
Right, and or maybe their self-esteem is low. Maybe mine is in a better spot. Not to put myself down at their, for their purpose, but I usually start with the idea of I'm gonna assume that they mean well.
You may hear the bell from now on about getting beer. By the way, that's what's going on over here. This is what happens on live recording.
And I'm
going
to assume that they maybe don't realize what they've just done and their insult that they've given me. And so rather than try to bring them down, I usually just at that point show that I know what I'm talking about. And they might look like a little bit of an idiot after, but I don't try to just blast them.
No, and... But that's, again, if they're still willing, unwilling. Right.
At a certain point, if they continue to berate me, then I will.
Yeah.
I will absolutely do so. I'm afraid
you're a much bigger person than me because I stop a person dead in their tracks.
So
you put up with zero shit.
Sorry.
A lot of people assume, okay, so I usually leave with nice. That's my decorum, okay? I usually leave with nice, but don't assume that my niceness means that I'm a pushover.
Right.
That's an assumption that some people fall prey to.
Yep.
And they should not.
Exactly.
So just because I'm a nice person doesn't mean I'm your doormat. And if you challenge me, you will lose.
Boom.
But
I see it happen.
I believe you.
I usually will give you one strike for free. That's how I work. I will show that I know what I'm talking about. And if you continue to be an asshole, then I have no problem defeating you.
Male or female, she's equal opportunity.
Yes.
Equal opportunity. That's how I roll. But I will give you a benefit of the doubt in the beginning. That's just how I end up. I don't usually go to the whole, like, hey, you're mansplaining. You'll just look like an idiot.
Yeah.
That's just a really long word for saying shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hardly ever say shut up.
Okay, because you're nice.
One of the more interesting things about some of the times that it's happened to me is that it'll happen if I'll post something on Facebook or Instagram, and then all of a sudden, out of left field, someone who I forgot I was friends with on Facebook, someone who never comments on anything, never likes any posts of mine, will throw in their two cents about how I'm wrong and about how I'm misguided and all of this nonsense.
I mean, some people are,
and then it starts a shitstorm.
And that's it. And then
that's exactly what happened yesterday. Well, I'm closer friends with them.
Yeah.
Okay, so I see that happen.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's just that I found it interesting that was really the majority of the time that this has happened to me on the internet was from people that I barely talk to or I'm not even really friends with.
That's kind of what I have this fucking resolve of, like, I think I know. You can't convince somebody to believe the truth, right? So people are going to believe what they want to believe, period, sometimes. And I feel like it's kind of like you can't argue with stupid. Not to, like, say that person is stupid, but it's the old saying of a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. There's a lot of truth to that. And I find sometimes when a person, like, I will engage them, and I will explain things, but when they continue to just not even address what I brought up, not even address these things, and continue to just be in that mind of thought, then at that point, I just decide they're not worth my breath. That doesn't matter what I talk about, what I say. I can talk till I'm blue in the face. I can show them all kind of facts, but if they're convinced that they're going to have this stance, they're going to have that stance. And at that point, I just decide they're not worth my sanity.
Right.
And so either we'll move on, delete them, or whatever. And when I say delete them, I don't usually delete people. I will usually delete comments. Unless somebody's really harassing me, abusing me, something like that on my in my phone, in my Facebook, or in my life, I don't usually delete somebody from my life. I feel like that's my last... Last resort.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I will limit them. Or I will know, like, this is the thought process that you have. And sometimes I feel like it's limited to maybe their worldview.
Your upbringing.
Yeah. And so I will hope that maybe in time they will see what I can't convince them with words in an example in my life. Because I feel like the only way that sometimes you can win those people is by example.
And then there's sometimes where...
Sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, and then there's... Well, and then there's the people, like, two people I'm thinking of, one on Facebook and one on Instagram, who I didn't even know they followed me. I forgot that they existed, frankly, until they piped up and gave their two cents about how I was bullshit. And I feel like in that case, if I don't have a relationship with that person, if I'm not friends really with that person, I don't feel bad about cutting them out. I don't feel bad about blocking them because whatever, they're being harassed, they're harassing, and I don't need them in my life. I don't need them seeing my life.
I live by the rule that everybody isn't for everybody. I don't have to apologize
for
you out of my life.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's my life.
Preach.
I was trying to make everybody my best friend. But you don't have to harass them. Like, so the people who are doing that you barely know.
Yeah.
They're just trolling. That's
yeah, basically.
A lot of people just like to speak to be heard, you know? They don't want to have much to put in. They just want to, you know, rattle the cage and see what happens.
Yeah.
So those people you just take with a grain of salt. Keep it moving, right?
I feel like we lost the men.
Yeah, we did. Calvin's sitting there on his phone, silently listening.
I'm listening.
Dave's got his bell.
The name is Dakota. Oh, that's right.
Well, what?
Dave's got his bell.
He's excited about his
bell.
Needs more.
Listen,
we need some more.
Let's have a sanity check.
Not based on what we've talked about.
Or at least a sobriety check. So here are the words we have to say.
Simultaneous sanity check.
Judicial system.
Which means, is that
Judicial system.
Judicial system.
Judicial system. I said it.
Shoulder surgery.
Shoulder surgery.
Passive aggressive.
Passive aggressive.
No, I would not enjoy a random hookup today.
Yes, I mean no.
Okay, you have to understand. I say those so often on my show, except for the last one. I say those so often on my show that I could say them in my sleep and drunk. So
we need to pick something out of those phrases on our show at all ever.
Yeah, I can tell. So, no. I think this is a good place to land. This has been a good conversation. I've had too many to drink. I've had too many to drink at this point. So when I sober up, maybe we'll come back and talk about something completely innocuous.
Maybe this conversation is all just
an edit. No, this is really good, though.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you came on, Ellie, Bobby. I'm glad that you came on, Jen. I'm glad that you were here as well. I think great conversation, both parts of it. And
cheers.
Thanks so much for listening to...
We're in the show.
Thanks so much for listening to Leading... there we go. Thank you so much for listening to Leading Questions with Calvin Moore. I am your host, Calvin Moore.
You can't say it.
And as always, we record on Wednesdays at Podcast 28 from 5 to 7. I'm about to blow on this breathalyzer, see how drunk I am, because I'm on my third 20% in. Hold on.